The 1895 podcast is brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. The 1895, the official Shelburne podcast, exclusive to Patreon.
The ball sinks in towards where Davy Rogers is up. Rogers reads the left! Oh, Davy Rogers! Oh, what a goal by Davy Rogers!
I'm angry, Tony, I have to be honest.
Murray! Martin Shelburne! Noel Murray! Has she won it for the Reds? What a goal!
Here's a chance up. Shane Farrell at Chelsea 2-0.
I'm sorry, Tony, but I'm angry as well. I was angry before the game. I've been angry for a long time.
And she gets the winning goal here. Slattery into the back of the net. That is what champions do. That is what winners do. Pearl Slattery.
Over the top by Sullivan. Hughes, goal. Sheldon lead.
His cross sticks the biggest.
Kilduffy is the substitute and he scored! Shell's lead!
We are in to the 94th minute and yeah! It's all over!
Shelburne FC are first division champions!
It's our just reward. We deserve this. We deserve this big time.
Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. And as always, we're brought to you in association with our proud media partners, Off the Ball. A successful weekend for the Reds. Well, semi-successful, depending on what way you look. At Friday night's result, our Women's Premier Division team got an important win on Saturday. Here to break everything down and preview another massive game live on RTE on Friday night against Dundalk, our Darren Cleary and our SLO, John Brennan. Gents, how are we?
Great, thanks, Doody. How's the form?
Good. Dazzler, are you with us?
I am with you. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for giving up your evenings. We were stuck. I would have been stuck without us as usual. So thanks very much. Right, we'll start probably Friday night. Jump straight in. Dazzler, a 2-2 draw away to Rovers. Good result, bad result?
I would have snatched your hand off for it at Friday at 7:45. I think we'd been playing well. It's still a difficult place to go there, even though they haven't had the start of the season they'd be happy with. They haven't lost there since, you know, Derry beat them a few weeks ago, but before that it'd been an absolute age. They had an unbelievable unbeaten streak there. So I think in the context of it, it's a positive result. You know, it's two goals scored, one of them with particular quality. Obviously, the goals we conceded, you know, worldly, you can't do anything about. But it's a set piece. So I'd be glass half full. I think it's a good result to get before the game, but after it, having been 2-0 up, having played really well, had a chance to win the game. Shane Farrell squares it for Matty Smith. He just can't get there at the back post. Probably his 2 points dropped, to be fair.
John, point gains, 2 points dropped?
I suppose a bit of both, to be honest, Doody. You know, plenty of positives. Going 2-0 up away to Rovers, you know, you're hoping to see it out. But the quality they have in their squad, sure, Burke's first goal there was top class. We know Burke has done his locker. And then the only complaint it would have is the defending again. Another goal from a set piece or a cross. You know, if we cut that out, we're further up the table. But the manner of our own second goal was top quality, great counter attack. You know, Jack to have the wherewithal, the confidence to flick it over Hoare's head, and now Matty then bursting his gut to get up. And you know, after a long busting run like that, to have the composure to slide it in, you know, it's a cracking goal. But overall, in the context of it, you wouldn't take a draw, a point away from Tally too lightly. So yeah, positives and negatives, I suppose. Yeah,
John, you mentioned there the quality of their squad and maybe the depth that they're blessed with. Like, I remember I turned around to Reggie a couple of times during the game and said, imagine being able to make a change like that. Like, they brought on Pico Lopez, Gary O'Neill, Richie Towell, Johnny Kenny, and that left Ronan Finn and Aaron Green on the bench as unused substitutes. So no, it's not.
Yeah,
definitely no shame.
That's what, and it's up to Rovers to break teams down. They seem to they like to play around the periphery, going sideways, backwards, look for that penetrating ball. I think teams have found them out to a certain degree in the last couple of years. I know, obviously, they went on eventually to win the leagues, but, you know, we've made it sticky for them, and we're probably the, one of the worst teams Bradley like wants to play against, you know. He knows what he's going to get. And at the same time, we can knock it around and give a good account of ourselves, considering like, what they're more than double their budget or whatever it may be. Again, you know, happy enough with the points, even though we were 2-0 up.
Dazzler, it's another thing that I noticed before the game started. Obviously, we're there a bit earlier, so like we were kind of hanging around as we usually do before the game started, and kind of hit home a little bit when I seen all the players in front of me, like players not involved because of injuries. Like, what did we have? Sean Boyd, Mark Coyle, J.R. Wilson, Gav Malloy, and Conor Kane obviously went out to do a bit of running himself, but probably hits home a little bit how bad the injuries have been, that those bodies aren't even togged out on a match night.
It says a lot that we're able to go there. Even it's, you could probably make excuses. I know, Duty, you were calling Rovers a free hit last week, and there probably would be a feeling that results.
Did I say that?
You did, yeah.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. God, Johnny, that's spoofing that goes on. I'd usually be very anti-free hit. I wouldn't be into that type of attitude, but go on, sorry.
Maybe you said some would see it as a free hit.
Don't mind me. Yeah, I probably did, because I would worry that the manager would hear me saying it was a free hit and I'd get the cold, frosty look.
I think that the fact that we were competitive is, I suppose, a testament to where we are this year compared to last year. Like, the manager has said a few times that the team that played Rovers 5 months ago and lost 3-2 is a completely different one. But to be able to go there, you probably could make your excuses before the game starts and say, look, well, we're missing Sean Boyd. He's the fulcrum of our attack. We're missing Mark Coyle, who was man of the match last time we came here. You know, we're down bodies, and get the excuses in early. But there seems to be an unbelievable spirit and amount of belief. Like, I contrast the feeling of that point the last day with the feeling of the point in 2020 under Morrow. And I know it's a long time ago, but drawing 0-0 there in the COVID year, also live on television, that felt like, Jesus, you know, we'd won something. Like, there was a huge buzz and excitement around, and everyone was going around congratulating each other. I think Collie McCabe had got man of the match.
Dude, he's mate.
There was a real celebratory feel about it, where the last day you leave Talla and everyone's a little bit like, oh, shite, you know, that could have been 3 points, that could have been a win. Very, very unlucky not to take all 3 points from it. So it says a lot by how far the team has come, and to be able to cope with the loss of those players, it's not very easy. You have to remember as well, Duty, he's on the bench, but he's obviously not able to play at the moment. And the captain, Luke Byrne, like, if you'd have told me we'd go to Talla with that missing list, Lukey not playing, and we get out of there with a point and a very, very good performance, geez, you'd snatch your hand off or something like that. Because aside from obviously the goals, and look, maybe we're not alive enough to the danger from Graham Burke, knowing what he can do from range with his left foot, but like, we played really, really, really well, and it wasn't just, you know, one lucky counter-attack break and an own goal. There was more to it than that, I thought.
Yeah, I just, while we're on it, that goal at Graham Burke looked, it's an unbelievable finish. Like, there's not a whole lot of players in the league are going to pull something like that out of bag. But I watched the goal a couple of times, because I'm always looking, not for somebody to blame, that's the wrong way of putting it, but to kind of see, like, what maybe we could have done different or how we could prevent goals. But I actually felt really, really bad for Shane Griffin, because he kind of just got caught. He couldn't go out and press them, because initially I looked and said, oh, who was that didn't close the ball down? And it was Griff, but he couldn't, because if he ran out to close the ball down, there was a little ball down the side for, I don't know who it was, one of the Rovers players that just slipped down the side. So Griff kind of got stuck, and he kind of couldn't really do anything. And in fairness, the two options he had were get dragged out of position and close down a shot that, percentage-wise, is probably pretty unlikely to go in, especially how good Conor Cairns has been for us. Or the other option is the ball gets played in behind and somebody's one-on-one to keeper. So I felt really, really bad for Griff. It's an unbelievable finish. Nothing Conor Cairns could do about it. But on goals conceded, John, another one from a set piece. Mm-hmm. The manager probably explained it again very, very well in kind of simple terms the way he usually does. What did you make of the concession of that second one?
Yeah, I know it's easy for us to talk about it and fans, but I know the lads are certainly kicking themselves every week this happens, you know. They're looking back over the videos and how they can improve and where they can put things right. I was saying to Darren the other day, everyone heading goals from set pieces and headers, they're all part of football. You don't mind conceding, whatever it may be, 1-5, 1-6. But when you're conceding every week, you're like, effing hell, lads, what are we doing, you know? Especially Lopez, just on the second half, wasn't he subbed on?
Yeah, he came on, yeah.
Yeah, and like, obviously, we know the delivery, the quality they have in their deliveries. And just on a sixpence bang. And yeah, it's disappointing. Would have preferred if they scored another cracker like Graham Burke. Yeah, absolutely. I'm similar to yourself, Dudy. I like to look back. Where did that come from? Who was there a mistake? Who didn't track back? But yeah, it's disheartening, and I know the lads definitely will be, you know, mulling over it, saying what could have been. And it's cliched in football, but you know, it comes around quick enough, and they've chances to rectify their mistakes. So. And if to cut them out, like I said a few minutes ago, if you cut that out, you know, we'd be even more difficult to beat, and we'd be further up the table, most definitely.
I actually think it makes it worse. Like, when you look back on the goals we've left behind, and if we hadn't conceded some of the goals, especially from set pieces that we have, I mean, like, we'd be probably in, I think I looked at it, I've done a bit of maths on it, we'd be in the top two at this stage. Mm. So that end of it is frustrating. But Daz, are you... interviewed the manager after the game as usual, and the spin he put on the second goal, not spin, that's the wrong word, but the take he had for the second goal was that we were set up wrong. That maybe, didn't he say that maybe Conor Cairns had set up for a shot rather than, or the whole team maybe set up as if it was going to be a shot rather than that was going to be a cross? And from where I was standing, now look, we were down the other end of the pitch, it looked like shooting distance. But then when I seen it back on the replay, I mean, he's fairly miles out, and the way his body and all is set up, he was never going to shoot. He was always going to cross it in. What did you reckon of that free kick? Is that the way you looked at it as well, or do you maybe just think people went sleepy, or what was your take on it?
It depends on how we set up at free kicks. Like I don't get the sense that the team looks to the line every time to ask, you know, what to do, but it definitely felt afterwards, maybe it's a bit of hindsight speaking, but four in the wall with the position and with the height Rovers have. I think Gaffney though had maybe gone off at this point, but still they had options in the box. Like, look at Richie Tell's diving header. He had a chance not long before that. Like, it always felt like it was going to be a cross. Now, I don't know if set piece to set piece, who's responsible for figuring out, you know, probably the keeper decides how many people are in the wall duty. You might correct me if I'm wrong. John Brennan, formerly a goalkeeper, might correct me. So maybe Conor anticipates the shot. Mm. It's something that probably wasn't going to happen, and we're just caught. Two or three men then on the other side of the post, because we've committed bodies to a wall for a shot that never came.
Yeah, I'd think so. Jack was probably setting up to shoot, or even 50-50 in his head. He's clever enough. He's one of the best players in the league. He probably assessed the situation, right? These have four on the wall here. I see Pico at the back post. Whoever else. Yeah, I'm just going to whip one in here and hope for the best. But I think the distance he was out, does Conor need four on the wall? I don't know. But still, at the same time, you know, the lads are experienced enough now to leave anyone free in the box. And yeah, I'd say it was a case of Jack just probably assessing the situation and bang, last minute maybe, just crossing it in.
You could see it actually in the RTE highlights that you see Paddy Barrett nearly as Jack does that strange kind of Simone Zaza jinx, World Cup run up. And just as he's starting to do that, you see Paddy Barrett starts to point. Looks like he just seen it a little bit too late and he tries to kind of get there. Well, look, it was gone at that stage. But Dazzler, sorry, I interrupted you there.
It's funny you mentioned that where we'd be had we have, you know, got the results or defended the set pieces in a different way or if one or two things were different. Like, I think it's a bad top of the table. I think it's quite poor. Like, you have Bowles up in around the mix and they're not great. They've had a few decent results, but they're not on paper the quality of Derry. I think there's a softness about Derry. I've said that for a while. Obviously, cup final aside, I just don't really feel they have that ruthless instinct. I think they have an awful lot going for them. And then you have Rovers, who I think they have one of the oldest average ages in the Premier Division. I think they might be second oldest. So they're an aging side. They're a side that, you know, despite their quality, look at the age profile of a Graham Bourke, of a Jack Byrne, of a Richie Towell. Obviously, the flip side of that is, you know, Bruges is relatively young and a couple of others, Johnny Kenny as well. But like, I don't really feel it's this, like, it is a year where Bowes could win the league. And I know that sounds a bit mental, but
don't say that, will you?
I know. It sounds a bit mad, but like Derry, Doody, how long have I been saying Derry are just, they're too soft.
Yeah, like, they are. And again, that's what's making like dropping points all the more frustrating. Like, look, I said it here last week and we were chatting about it on Friday at the game. We have a good run of fixtures coming up. And like, all the European talk at the start of the year, I was kind of going, oh no, don't start all that. That's a model for us to trip over ourselves and be nowhere near it. But like, it's starting to look a bit now like, do you know what? If you could be consistent and just consistently be picking up points, which the way we defend, we will pick up points, even if it is like that, a point away to Rovers, a point away to Derry. You can take those points and make sure you win the games you should be winning. And like, the sky is probably the limit for the group of players. Like, look, we've gone through the goals we conceded, and look, they weren't, one of them's a cracker. The other one is a bit of a calamity, really, when you look at it. But some of our play on Friday was, I mean, as good a stuff as you're going to see. And like, I'd have mates that, you know, like, that would watch the RTE game when it's on. They wouldn't go paying for LOI TV or anything, but they were really, really impressed with how we played and how we looked. And one of the lads said, geez, if you switched that on, you wouldn't have known until kind of the last 20 minutes who was the defending champions and who were the ones only having their second year in the Premier Division. But the change of shape, John,
yeah,
it's a subtle one, but I think we look a better team with it, with that extra body in midfield like that. Obviously, it was JJ, Evan Caffrey and Brian McManus were kind of a tree. Would you lean on that tree or would you take a body out and have an extra body forward?
Yeah, I think you can play tactics. Once you get the personnel, it all depends on personnel. Obviously, we've had a couple of injuries so far this year. We mix and match at the back as well. In an ideal world, yeah, I liked the setup from the on Friday night. I think it was brilliant, great game plan, executed to perfection, you could say. Better defending we touched on. Yeah, going forward, you know, I think once you get your best attacking players in their best positions, and basically kind of work off them. I know we're missing Boyd as the fulcrum and the go-to target man as such. But you know, I think we've adapted well, you could say, in the last few weeks to it. I know certain phases of play, you're like, oh, we miss Boyd. I think overall, the lads in the group are gelling considerably well. And just to go back there on what you said, lads. Duffer said before the UCD and Sligo Friday, Monday games, these two games are going to be big, deciding where our season goes. And we touched on the league. The league is so competitive. Teams are beating each other. There's draws left, right and centre. I think when you look back at last week, 4 points out of the weekend and then go to Tala and pick up another point, 5 points out of nine. If you look at the fixtures before you kick the ball against UCD, you're looking at that and saying, yeah, we'll take that, you know. And then if we can eradicate the issues at the set pieces, there's nothing stopping us kind of competing, you know, second, third. First might be a bit away just yet with the young squad, but then lads will come away from there. And what you said, Darren, as well, people leaving the ground on Friday night, they'd be kind of, oh, what could have been? And that's a good thing. It shows how far we've actually come. And them lads know, once they stick together, that they know what they're capable of. They have a belief, they have a courage. They can go to anywhere in the country and put on a show and come away with results. And you never know, plucking away, chucking away with each game as it comes and picking up results. And you never know where we'll be come the business end of the season. But overall, very positive and, you know, very little complaints.
Dazzler, as a man who I'm sure has scored a few OGs in his time, what in the name of God happened for our first goal?
I don't know why it goes out his left foot.
It was mental. It ends up going
the near side of the right post. Like it's mad. Like it's just. I mean, it's a testament to, I suppose, the pressure we put on. But it is a bit mad. Graham Gartland spoke really well in RT. I think he's becoming a very, very decent pundit. Poor enough centre half for the Reds. Back,
I was going to say, pity wasn't a decent centre back, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Himself, oh, that's because our goalkeeper couldn't kick the ball out.
Himself and Ian Ryan are probably the worst centre half partnership.
No. If you were to give me 5 minutes, I'd find you a worse centre back partnership, guaranteed, 100%.
Well, dude, we might tease it. You've been planning on doing it for a while, but the all time first division 11 is going to be a future episode in the not too distant future, if I'm right.
Yes, in the not too distant future, I want to do it because there's been an all time 11 done before, but there's a certain kind of romance to the first division. Now, a bit like. Felt like a divorce at times as well, but like I just think it's a fascinating era for the club between the two spells, the hopeful one from 07 to kind of 2010 maybe, to the utterly tragic situation we found ourselves in, kind of 16-17. So yeah, I'd love to do it at some stage in the future. We'll definitely get plenty of input on social media from it, let people throw their opinions at us and try and settle on an 11. But yeah, I've started researching old squads, and by God, there is some trash in there.
Anyway, I got sidetracked there. Sorry to take you on a little tangent, but Gartland said he probably should have just cleared it with his right foot, and instead of trying to absolutely welly it, put his laces through it, just side foot it away, because there's enough pace on the ball. Any kind of contact will get it out of the danger area, and the second ball probably won't be, as you know, a goal scoring opportunity for Shells. So yeah, it's just a little mistake, but my God, it was mad to watch. And like that away end, I've been in some great away ends even this year, like down in Cork was brilliant. But that was the scenes when that first goal went in were a bit not muted, but I don't think anyone was expecting it. There was the scenes when the second goal went in, though, you know. I think it was the combination of, and we bigged him up last week, Brian McManus played brilliantly. His ball in for Jack Moylan's lovely. Moylan just tearing Sean Hoare inside out and then just putting it on I would say a play for Matty Smith, but he still has quite a bit to do to get that finish beyond Manus. Like it's a brilliant goal. And because it happened in that sequence and people like, they could get on their feet, they could get excited. And then when the ball hits the back of the net, it's just amazing. And the way the players celebrated as well, maybe it's because I haven't seen a celebration up that close yet this year, but like Evan Caffrey trying to pull the fence off.
Matty Smith, Ultimate Warrior, I think you said,
doesn't it? He was shaking it, like, and it was shaking with him. It was amazing. Like the scenes were brilliant, but I'd say if you're a neutral and you're at home and you're watching that, you always know when Shells are on the box because you hear from people who know you're into Shells but mightn't have a passing interest in the results. But I was getting a few text messages from people who I've worked with, people I know, being like, Jesus, you look good here. This is a great performance. Just brilliant game. I may get down to one soon enough. So it was the the proverbial and the cliched great advert for the league in my mind.
Yes, of course. And you know what? I have to say, I'm worried about Jack Moylan. I worry at this stage because he has been phenomenal. And a game live on RTE like that, he was excellent. He was so good with the ball. Oh, yeah. I hate to say it because I'd be delighted for him, but oh, I hope Jack's time in red is nearly up.
Yeah, the scouts at grounds every week, that's the nature of it. There was a time where you just assumed they were there to watch the opposition players, whoever was in town, but yeah, more and more you get the sense that the people who are coming in to talk on a Friday night from clubs in England, and they're not Mickey Mouse, they're not like, you know, way down to divisions, you know, it's Championship clubs, League One clubs, regularly at Talca, and you get the sense they probably are keeping a close eye on the likes of Jack, Gav Malloy, Jad, obviously now he's fit, and a few others.
Yeah, I think he's been brilliant this year. You know, once you keep him injury free, you know, he's one of the best in the league. And it's very important that Duffer is there as well, because Damien obviously has played it, done it all. He'd be keeping his feet firmly on the ground, keeping him humble, keep doing what he's doing and keep improving. And yeah, I think, well, he's still young, isn't he? How old is Jack?
21.
Is he? Yeah. I think potentially and possibly, you know, it could happen. A trip across the water might be on the cards for him, but we'll just enjoy him and keep enjoying him until such a day comes.
Yeah, and that second goal, Dazzler, I'm going to go full coach on you here. So brace yourself, strap in.
Go for it.
Now, this is something, right, and it's going to sound mad, and you're going to roll your eyes, but the build-up was class. Brian McManus played a great little ball. Jack's flick was unbelievable. His little shimmy and his drag back, I think it was Sean Hoare, got nowhere near him. The ball that he put through for Matty Smith was perfect. And actually, there was a great video. I'm not actually sure who had it up on socials, but the video from the supporters, like from inside the stand, and all the fingers are just pointing over towards Matty Smith to square it. But the weight of that pass that Jack Moylan put in for Matty Smith was unbelievable. Matty didn't even have to break stride, didn't have to do anything. Jack made his mind up for him that he was going to side foot it into that far corner. Because the amount of times you see those passes either over hit, they play too far in front, or they're wellied straight at somebody's feet, and then they have to try and take a touch, and it gives the keeper a chance to get out. Jack's ball for Matty was perfect. And if Matty Smith didn't score that goal on Monday, I don't think Matty Smith scores that goal on Friday, but such a good finish. The celebration, not sure, I have to be honest, but there was a group of kids standing beside us who loved it, so that's probably the old football cynic in me coming out, but it was a class goal. It was deadly. And as you said, the scenes in the away end was pandemonium. That's probably the best way of putting it. Mental. Absolutely mental celebrations. John, just on Matty Smith.
Yeah.
I champion him here all the time for his work rate. A good red, he'll know who he is. Questioned me in the Belfield Bowl last Friday for complimenting Matty Smith's work rate. In his words, anyone can work hard. He has no quality, I think, was actually the words that came out of that red's mouth.
Name and shame.
No, I can't.
I can narrow it down to one of two people. And they're listening in at the moment, most definitely.
Dougal and Ted.
Matty, how happy are you that he's managed to net twice now?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. The goal he got against Sligo, like the touch out of Sky, bang, finish, roof of the net. And then after that goal, he kept running. You could see the extra burst of adrenaline in him. And yeah, taking it into Friday then, you know, quality finish. And he's actually going to push on again, I think. And he could say a good whack at the club, and he knows that there's a small bit of maybe a pressure on him to kind of produce. And I think with goals definitely help his confidence and momentum, and seeing how well we can play at the up the higher end of the field. Geez, that sounds very Gaelic of me, doesn't it? Up the higher end of the pitch. he keep feeding them the ball, getting them into the right places. That, like I said a few minutes ago, get your best attacking players in their best positions, and we midfield, get the ball up to them, and go from there. But yeah, brilliant. Two great goals, and hopefully he kicks on again and keep progressing, him and Jack, until Boydie comes back into the frame.
It's probably important as well that while Boydie hasn't been available, it's clicked a little bit now up there. Like, the second half of the Sligo game was really good. They were really good for 90 minutes on Friday. So hopefully now it's starting to click up there, and it means that when Boydie comes back, you have more than one way that you can play, which I think we'd all be happy to see. A couple of other bodies, Dazzler, that I was very impressed with Friday. I thought JJ was brilliant again. And I think maybe he's better with the other two bodies in there with him. Obviously, he had Ev Caffrey with him, and he had Brian McManus in there with him, who Brian McManus just did not stop running for the entire game. Like, Brian never walks. He's a bit like a toddler. He's just constantly running.
Yeah, he's a warhorse. Yeah,
he's definitely. Just constantly running and busy and hassling and harrying people. He was really, really good. So I thought JJ in particular was great. And another one who wasn't getting a bit of stick, but maybe hadn't been at his best the last couple of weeks, Tyreek. I thought Tyreek was really, really good, considering like the players he's up against. Like, Neil Ferrugia, he's just talk, he's on the brink of an Ireland call-up. And Tyreek, I thought, dealt very, very well with him.
He did brilliantly. And look, to be fair, it's probably not been the easiest few weeks for him. Like, he got hooked at halftime not that long ago. So he gets an opportunity to instantly atone. And I think there was probably a good kind of pressure put on the likes of Maddie and Tyreek and maybe Evan. JJ, you certainly felt that, you know the ability he has. When he gets to his best, he can be competing with any player, any midfielder in the league. And we just hadn't seen it enough from him this season. But I don't know whatever happened against UCD, but it seems like a pivotal moment so far in this season for the team, because everything just kind of ratcheted up a gear. Now, I know obviously when you look back, and there's a tendency to look at scores and say we're brilliant when we win and we're shite when we lose and it's a bit meh when we draw, but like, the Sligo performance was very, very good, aside from obviously the early chances we kind of coughed up. I thought JJ played really well there. Obviously, there's an extra midfielder duty. You touched on it. There's this tree on the last Friday that probably changes the, I suppose, how easy it is for JJ to get involved in the game. He probably has a more clear-cut role in what he's doing when you have Brian and Evan just going around being very busy and getting involved in every tackle, hassling, harrying. I think JJ's played really well. I think Tyreek's done good. Like, we mentioned the injury issues we've had. Like, I would have said JR has been one of our best players so far this season. Tough to deal without him. And we didn't even mention the fact that when Keane Levy came on, like, he looked off it. He just doesn't look fit at the moment. He's carrying a bit of a knock, the manager told us. So, like, to be in a position where we're putting performances together with the amount of, you'd argue, guaranteed starters we're missing, is a very, very good place to be. And the lads who had probably been underperforming by their standards, we've kind of touched on, they put in a couple of big performances. Like, Duff said the other day that he kind of challenged Maddie. He said, when you walked in here, like, you know, the whole place, you gave us a lift. Like, you have that ability, nearly the arm around the shoulder, to believe in yourself, give a bit more because you're capable of. I don't know what happened in those conversations over the last week or so with players, but whatever's happened with Matty Smith is it's been amazing, because he's just looked like a different player in the last 2 weeks.
He has. He's been class. Really, really good. We'll move on. We'll preview Dundalk now shortly. Just a couple of other bits of housekeeping around the club. Before we come to that, the Women's Premier Division side, and I'm finally getting used to saying it, and it's rolling off the tongue now. Couldn't call it a pretty win on Saturday, I wouldn't have said. I kind of was tuning in and out of the game. I was watching it on LOI TV. So, look, it's hard to get a good a good gauge sometimes using the bogey camera that picks up ball linesmen. But an important win, not pretty, but probably fair to say Noel Murray grabbing the goal early is probably, sounds silly saying it's the key to winning the game in the end because we won 1-0, but I think the longer a game goes on like that, nil all against a kind of rugged team like Treaty, we might have ended up struggling a little bit.
Yeah, they're definitely improving. They're getting better. We had other chances to win. Obviously, Alex Kavanagh has a big chance, and you know you expect her to put that away. It doesn't happen. It's obviously easy to say in hindsight that you should be converting them, but not to be. Like, Noel's been such an important player for that team for so many years. Like, has dug us out of an immeasurable amount of holes, scored big goals in big games. And I don't think there's any bigger than that one. Like, it's all the pressure is on Shells, like a massive, massive amount. Especially going into the idle week this week where we don't have a game. Like, it was so, so important to win it. And Treaty came, they defensively were excellent, you have to say, you know. And the longer it went on, the more frustrating it would have been. And the higher the chances are they can nick something on the other end as we commit bodies forward to try and just kill the game. And yeah, I think it's an ugly win. It's probably not the kind of, you know, all-conquering swashbuckling performances that we've seen in Talk over the years. But, Dudy, you've said the phrase a few times, it's the mark of champions to be able to adapt to different oppositions, and probably was the mark of champions the last day to adapt to that and win it.
It is. That's the kind of game where you could easily give up a smelly goal from a set piece or, you know, something that goes in off the back of somebody's head or something like that. So, like, under no circumstances were we clinging on in the game, but just always felt the door was open just for something to maybe pop up and cause us problems. Now, thankfully, it didn't. And look, in the grand scheme of things, those games, like, their Treaty last year was a gimme. I mean, like, I'm not doing Treaty a disservice by saying that, but like, it was a totally different setup last year compared to this year, and it's probably a mark all through the division now that, like, the likes of Treaty, look, they're still, I think they're third from bottom, but they're not the same kind of, I don't want to say easy ride as they would have been last year, but they're definitely, they've improved an awful lot. And as you said, Dazza, going into the off week on the back of a win is really important. John, sorry.
I was watching the game, and when Alex takes that shot and Noel follows in and gets the early goal, you're thinking, you know, the girls should push on here. Gone by previous seasons against Treaty as well, you know, push on, get a few goals under the belt. Still breeding in the new players as well, you could say, getting used to each other. But in fairness to them, they were dogged and they kept at it. And, you know, Darren said a bit of an ugly win, but it's 3 points at the end of the day, and you know it's a home win, and sitting nicely now going into the idle week. It was second in the league, so, yeah, just check there, second. So yeah, isn't it all about getting the win at the end of the day, and a clean sheet as well? So I'm sure the girls won't be too worried.
No, they certainly won't be.
So important, Duty, as well, going into the kind of run of fixtures that we have. Like, obviously, two away games, Wexford Utes, Athlone Town. Obviously, last year, Athlone were the big surprise package. Wexford pushed Shells right to the end. You cannot state just how important it was to win that game. And I suppose to be adaptable and to be able to win games in different ways. Like, P-Mount, the last day, the game before that, obviously, it looks like a comprehensive win. It's 4-1. People look at the scoreline. Looks like Shells just, you know, bounced in and won the game and got on with it. But that was a challenge. That wasn't an easy game either. And especially coming into this Wexford game at Lone Town, both away in the Premier Division. And then obviously DLR then in Talca and kind of mid-May time. Like, the next two game weeks will be absolutely vital. They'll be critical to, I suppose, deciding on the path of the team going forward.
Absolutely.
I like that word, Darren, actually. What was that?
Critical.
Vital, was it?
Vital. Vitally critical.
But then you're in your League of Ireland vocab.
The everyone's favourite cup competition, Dazzler. We have some news. We have a date.
Yeah, May 8th. Mark it in your calendars. The Leinster Senior Cup quarter final. Think, do we have a finalist? Was there a semi final on last night?
Yeah,
Usher spanked Bray. Yeah,
Usher beat Bray. Yeah.
So it's Usher in the final.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. The Leinster Senior Cup. Magical tournament. It's 8th of May, Talca 7:45, Wexford in the quarter final. Ticket confirmation will be in shortly, next week or so. Obviously, it's a few people on today asking if season tickets are valid. They're not. The club would like to make season tickets valid for the Leinster Senior Cup, but because the gate is split with the away end, they have a say in whether or not tickets are offered on sale or are just comped, and obviously the clubs you play will want a cut of the gate. So club obviously not in a position to do season tickets free for the Leinster Senior Cup, but there is a hope of doing discounted ticket prices for it. It's obviously conversations going on in the background to allow that to happen. But yeah, ticket details will be confirmed. The only reason they haven't been is because the hope is that there'll be discounted tickets offered for that game. Don't know the price yet. You'd hope it'd be around 10 for an adult, 5 for a child. But don't shoot the messenger if that doesn't happen.
So Monday the 8th of May, that's the Leinster Senior Cup quarter final. We're home against Wexford. And Derby news in the coming weeks on ticket prices. Just on that as well, that game's under the banner of the Leinster FA. It's not under anyone else. So the Leinster FA kind of called the shots on that one. So it's out of club's hands, unfortunately. We did, Dazzler, last week announce another very, very, very special guest for the pod. For, I believe it's the week after next.
Yeah, it will be, because it's been recorded on, what, Wednesday?
Yes. So
there'll probably be a podcast next week. We could probably just delay the podcast today and put it out on the Thursday.
Oh, well, you're the boss.
This is people seeing inside the...
For anyone who thinks we talk outside of the pod all that much about important things, here we go.
Yeah, no, look, it'll be next week. There you go.
Yes, and I believe we will open the floor up to the manager for our supporter questions.
Yeah, the question box on Instagram, probably one way of doing it. There'll be email submission for questions as well. Yeah, we'd love you to get in touch and put your questions to the manager, Damien Duff, live in studio next week on the 1895 podcast. Duty is planning on wearing a tie just to impress him. But yeah, we're all looking forward to it.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it indeed. Looking forward to it indeed. John, life as the SLO of Shelbourne Football Club. How is everything going in the life of the Shelbourne supporters?
Well, if you want me to be honest.
Save it for the book, John. Save it for the book.
I know. Everything's going great. I think the results on the pitch certainly help morale. Supporters are happy. A couple of other little niggles that you're going to get along the way, which is expected. People have their queries, complaints, issues, suggestions, and you know it's all welcomed. It's all good feedback, no matter how silly you may think it is. But yeah, it's going well. Great to be involved dealing with the different stakeholders in the club, meeting new supporters, people I've never met before. You know, good that people are reaching out with certain ideas as well, and you know, the open dialogue there with the club, which is brilliant. I have a couple of contacts that I can get in touch with, depending on which department. So far so good, and obviously we've had the change in the CEO. I met Barry there a couple of weeks ago, and I'm looking forward to working with him and keep the club progressing in the right direction. So happy out, can't complain. Taking all of my stride and learning as I go along.
Good to hear, John. On the academy front, again another busy weekend. Our 19s men's team got an important 2-1 win at home to Cork. a certain Jad Hakiki, he was on the score sheet there, and Bemi Arubi, who's made the bench a couple of times, been involved in first team squads over the course of the season, both got the goals. That was a come from behind win as well, so all the more important. A host of first team squad members involved in those games. I know David Torre played, Sean Cummins was involved. There's always a sprinkling. Lewis Temple is in there, so there's always a sprinkling of those kind of more fringe senior players involved in that 19s group. So an important win. 17s men got a 2-0 win away to Bray. Our 17s women had a comprehensive Ringsend Derby win over Rovers. That was an away game as well, so all the more impressive with that result. Our 19s didn't play their game against Piemont, was called off. And I'll rattle through the fixtures, and again, especially for the 19s, there's probably a big interest in that, because there is the likes of, like, David Torres always there, Bemi is there, Jad is obviously down there for a bit of game time. The manager kind of spoke about that a couple of weeks ago when Jad was getting back to fitness. So only the hardiest of souls now will get to the 19s game this Sunday, they're away to Cove. So only the most hardened of Red, I think, will be making that trip on a Sunday. The 17s are at home against Club Kildare. That's on this coming Saturday. It's a 12 o'clock kickoff in the AUL, so that's a much handier one to get yourselves down to. There's no underage women's games as far as I'm aware. Now, I will admit, I did have to use FAI Connect for that and couldn't find any fixtures, but it's one of the few things I'd be very complimentary on the FAI on, is that new app, the FAI Connect app. So that was life in the academy over the weekend. Important results all round. Probably brings us into Friday, gents. We're live on RTE again. It's, you'd have to say, a winnable game. I watched Dundalk against Derry on Sunday, and like, Dundalk, I would not be fearful of Dundalk, Dazzler, would you?
No, not at all. You wouldn't be too worried about what they might throw at you. They haven't been playing brilliantly. Their results have been a little bit patchy. They're unpredictable, though. That's the frustrating thing with them. They could get whacked one week and produce a win the next week.
Yeah, they are a little bit up and down. Unfortunately for us on Friday, I think Waziri Williams is going to be suspended for Dundalk. He has been a calamity any time we've played him, and any time I've seen him, he has been disastrous at centre-back. So he's suspended. He got a straight red for a shocker of a tackle against Derry. And probably, look, don't wish injuries on players, obviously, but Greg Sloggett went off injured as well on Sunday, so it looks unlikely he'll play. He always seems to play very, very well against us. So that's probably a runs in their favour. Something that probably doesn't is that Pat Hoban, or Hoban, whatever his name is.
Hoban. It's Hoban and everywhere else in the country except Dundalk. Then you go to Dundalk, they struggle with the pronunciation, so it's Hoban.
No, was it not him? Was it not? Hoban himself came out and said that it was pronounced Hoban. I'm pretty sure that happened somewhere.
Just because he can't pronounce his name doesn't mean it's correct. James McLean's name is James McLean in a Derry accent.
And some unfortunate news coming on the 1895 podcast. We've lost John Brennan.
He'll be back. He's not gone far.
He's got lost. He got off the leash and now he's gone.
He slipped off into the nether regions. He's crossed to the other side. He just got sick of listening to us, I'm guessing.
He must have done. Not the only one.
Yeah. See, you get to, you know, 10 to 9 on a Tuesday. You're probably getting the evil eyes off everyone in your family as you continue to race another evening with Shelburne Football Club. And yeah, your family are probably thinking, where are you?
Dazzler, do we stick with three in the middle on Friday?
I was going to say, do we stick with three on the pod? Or we just... Yeah, I would. I would. I thought it'd give us a good balance. Like, JJ is very, very technical. Some of his passing's really good. I think Brian and Evan as well get through a serious volume of work. I think just even that little bit of, I don't know what you call it, that more congested clutter of traffic tends to leave a bit more room for your Matty Smiths and your Jack Moylans. So I would go with that again. I thought that was quite effective.
Are you expecting any of the injured lads to be available?
No, it's
guesswork on our part. I'd say the most likely is probably JR, I would have thought.
Yeah, JR was one that it's a bit of a finicky one. I think it's a hip flexor issue, so I think it's hard to know when you're right from it because you don't get the pain until you start running and moving on it. So I think that is why it's hard to judge. I think Keane Levy's probably carrying something. Didn't look right when he came on, but it's hard to know. Luke as well is absolutely breaking his neck to get back in. We kind of match sharpness, still carrying something. He'd be an important player to get back. Kyle probably won't be too far away. It didn't seem like it was a proper reoccurrence. It looked more so like a not precautionary. I don't know, Duty, you were chatting to him for a good while before the game on Friday.
Yeah, I'm always a bit wary of asking players about injuries just because, like, I don't know, feels like you're kind of prying a little bit. And on many things, but a journalist looking for a scoop is certainly not something I am. So, yeah, I can't really go into what we were talking about. But no, I didn't ask him, to be honest. I don't like kind of prying for info like that. Gav Malloy is on crutches at the minute. I'm sure people would have seen him around the ground as well. So, not really sure on Gav. That's probably maybe not a long term one, but a longer term than. Than JR and Kyler are going to be. It would probably be harsh to change the 11 that started the game on last Friday, I would have thought.
I wouldn't expect too many changes, probably because we're fairly close to the bare bones. Like who was on the bench the last day? I think Luke Brown was on the bench, or Bemi Arubi was on the bench, David Torre was on the bench. I'd say it's harder to make changes when you're struggling for numbers.
John, are you back?
Yeah.
Back here, lads. Yeah.
It's great to be back.
Oh, yeah. And a bit of a mishap. Yeah, it's great to be back. Yeah. Thanks,
I should have just taken over from you, John. Just whispered and done some heavy breathing and everything. John's still here.
Yeah. I know. The young lad had a bit of a cry, so needs must, family first.
Yeah, I figured that might have been the case, JB.
John, what are you expecting from this Friday's game?
Did I miss anything? Anything boring? What am I expecting?
It's all shite, really.
Come on, Duty. what am I expecting? I'm expecting a tough Dundalk team.
We were just talking about how shy they are.
I think, I think after coming back against Derry, they'd be well up for it. Obviously we beat them in the Leinster Senior Cup. I know there's a few players missing and what have you as well, but they still had a strong team out. They'd be under a bit of pressure to get a result as well. But our lads, listen, they'll have nothing to fear as usual. And if we implement a game plan again and get a bit of the rub of the green, I know we've got lucky with a couple of own goals this year, but it's going to be another tight game. I think we'll overall do it. We'll win by a goal. It'll be either 1-0 or 2-1. That's my prediction.
Dazzler, a prediction, please.
Shells to win 2-1.
I'm going 2-0. I think we'll brush Dundalk aside. I don't think they'll be able to live with us. Famous last words, as always. John Brennan.
Everyone's got a plan to bite them in the backside.
Exactly. John, thank you very much for giving up your evening.
Cheers, Duty. Dazzler. Thanks, Darren.
Likewise for yourself.
Cheers, Duty, and to you for always giving up your evenings.
I've nothing better to do.
Steering the ship, the good ship 1895. The red sails in the sunset.
Yes, and we are back to red sails. Don't worry about it.
Thank Jesus for that. Caravan of Love needs to be binned for life everywhere.
Oh, I'll never forget that being played on the way out. Anyway, lads, thanks a million for chiming in, and I will see you all on Friday.
Good luck.
This podcast is brought to you by Off the Ball, official media partner of Shelburne FC. For all the latest sports news, visit otbsports.com.
Rest in the sunset. One.